Well, you know, today we celebrate and we give thanks to Christ. Well, you know, with the funds that we raised from our 2018 bazaar, we can be the Good Samaritan to many, many people. We didn't do this alone. You know, just as the Samaritan needed the help of the innkeeper to provide care, so we helped one another and we made a team ourselves. Our community supported our efforts as well. Many of you donated items and you invited people to come and to partake of the items, have lunch here, and help buy things as well. I want to thank our bazaar committee, Judy Berner, Joni Neal, Nancy Wilburn, Linda Blueball, Nina Whitmore, Donna Anderson, and Sue Moorcock, served as our 2018 bazaar committee. When you have a chance to see them, thank them for their extra effort. Thank you. Thank them for their service to Christ as well. You know, a lot of people knew about our bazaar because you've done it for a number of years. But in afterwards, what I heard so much was that people said, we knew that the money was going to missions. We knew that the money was going to help others and a lot of different others. And I think, from a pastoral perspective, I think that when people heard that our bazaar was to help raise funds for others and not to line our own pockets, that really encouraged folks to come. And so you've done this for a few years now. We do it every other year. So I also think that familiarity is part of the process. People were expecting it as well. You know, it's such a blessing to help others. It gives us a good feeling. It gives us a good experience. And we just get to bless others. And I just hope that you know, the feelings of blessing others, you know, doesn't wear off too soon. You know, too many times in life, the nice things in life, the compliments that we get, wear off too soon, don't they? Heard a joke about a wife who was just waking up from anesthesia from the surgery. And her husband was sitting there by the bed. And her eyes fluttered open, and she said, My, you are drop-dead gorgeous. And then she fell asleep again. And the husband said, I have never heard her say that to me before. So he decided to stay by her side. A few minutes later, her eyes opened up again, and she said, you're pretty cute. He said, what happened to drop-dead gorgeous? And she said, I think the drugs are wearing off. Well, I hope that our good feelings and I hope that the blessings that many, many people received is something that doesn't wear off too soon. So I'm looking at this scripture, and we've been in this for two Sundays, so today we bring a close to it. I was looking at verse 27. I was thinking, you know, as I looked in the other Gospels, this differs slightly from Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But the differences really don't matter that much. If you're looking at your insert and your bulletin, I'm going to go through that now, and at the end of the message, I'll review that as well. Because Jesus refers to four different things here. He refers to the heart, and the heart refers to emotions. You know, we know from our historical studies that the Jews spoke of the bowels as the center of the emotions, just as today we speak of the heart as the center of emotions. The soul refers to what we're conscious of. The soul refers to what we are aware of around us. Strength refers to initiative, to power, to drive. And the mind refers to intelligence and to wisdom, thinking the steps through in the process. And we can see all four of these in this parable today. As we look at this parable, one thing came to my mind that I wanted to share with you. And I saw this motif in this parable. It's sort of this convenience-inconvenience motif. Did you hear that in what Kate read for you? The priest and the Levite were busy with other things. Each one had a choice. They had a choice whether or not to do the good thing, the right thing. And I think the point is this. I think that convenience, inconvenience And becoming a Christian will always be there. I think that's what Jesus is trying to tell us. We'll never outgrow that. That will always be a part of the picture. And we are always becoming a Christian. We have never arrived. We've never finished. We're always growing. So there's this convenience, inconvenient kind of motif going on in this parable. But there's also another one, this kind-heartedness versus this sort of meanness or unfeelingness as well. This sort of compassion and indifference. You've seen this in the parable as well. There are three movements here by the Samaritan that led to the sufferer's healing. The first one is this. First of all, he saw him. He saw him. He sees a human being in need. He didn't look away. He didn't pretend like the person didn't exist. He saw him. The next thing is that he was moved with compassion. We know that the word compassion, the root of that means to suffer with, to hurt with. And Jesus is saying that seeing and awareness isn't enough. Just to see a person in need isn't enough. We can see a person in need and choose not to do anything, right? The Samaritan was moved in the depths of his beings, in his heart, which back then meant in his bowels, in his guts. He was moved. You know, that can be a challenge today when we live so fast, when we are so inundated with crisis upon crisis by the media and personally in our own lives. Third thing was this, he acted. He acted. He showed love and mercy. He used what he had, his own animal, his own funds. And many of you worked long hours and you gave of yourselves generously and lovingly for our bazaar. You set aside other things to do bazaar ministry. That's part of that convenience, inconvenience motif, right, that we all have to deal with in our lives. We all have to work through that. So he saw him, he was moved with compassion, and he acted. All three movements matter, okay? All three matter. Sometimes we can do just one of those. Sometimes we see something, but we know somebody else who can help. Sometimes we're the ones who can act, but we don't always see everything or are aware of everything that's going on around us. We need other people to sort of help inform us as well. All three of these movements matter. And that's one reason why we want everyone at Bethany to share your talents. Because some are good at identifying. And some are good at empathizing. And some are good at doing. As you think about those three things, do you find that you fall under one of those three umbrellas? Are you a person good at identifying needs around you? Or good at empathizing with those? Or are you a doer? Part of that love also was this. A part of that love was intentional. It was intentional. Remember, Jesus is pointing the way to the kingdom. He's saying this is what it's like to be a part of the kingdom and to be in the kingdom, both now and the kingdom to come. The Samaritan did what he did with intention. We call it intentional love in the church. We call it intentional discipleship. And so there are times that we hope that people will sort of catch on and get on board with things. We hope that people will learn or hear the gospel by hearing or by osmosis or by some other way. But there is also a time in the life of the church where we have to be intentional about those things and present people opportunities, concrete ways to participate. And what I see in this parable is sort of an intentional love. He wanted to help the person. And in 2019, we're going to be looking at ways of intentional discipleship here. Because there are times where opportunities sort of present themselves to us, don't they? And then we have a choice as we see in this parable, what to do. But then there are also other times that are very intentional opportunities where we know where we are and we're focused and we're working together as a team. Think about that. Think about intentional discipleship. As Peter said in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, Jesus went around doing good. There was an intentionality that was part of Jesus' ministry. Now, part of that love also is this. A part of that love is counting the cost. The Samaritan showed grace, and grace is love. And it's about love. That's one of the big themes of this parable is love. We see that at the very beginning. But before we even get to love, we have to ask and answer a question to ourselves. Is it worth the cost? Is it worth the cost? Showing mercy cost the Samaritan. Being willing cost him. Helping cost him. But it was worth the cost. Another part of that love was generosity. And that's one thing that we're celebrating today. Notice how the Samaritan puts money up front to cover the immediate needs. And you do that every Sunday, financially with your offerings and in other ways by volunteering. He promises to reimburse the innkeeper of any additional requirements. And you can bet that when the innkeeper saw that money up front, it lent credence to his promise to cover any additional payments. Dr. Kenneth Bailey was a very prolific New Testament scholar, and he was a Presbyterian missionary. His writings helped to make Jesus Middle Eastern again, when a lot of other global writers and commentators fit Jesus into a different kind of mold. He wrote a commentary on the parables. It's entitled Through Peasant Eyes. Here's a quote from that. Dr. Bailey says, notice how the Samaritan's actions reversed those of the robbers. They robbed the man, left him to die, and abandoned him. The Samaritan pays for the man, leaves him in good hands, and promises to return. This parable reveals how church and society throughout the world, when we see and feel and act, can reverse human pain and misfortune. Here's the final thing. Verse 28, Jesus says, do this and you will live. And again, in verse 37, he says, go and do likewise. Jesus is saying that it's a matter of doing and loving and caring, and it's by faith. Paul said that salvation and inheriting eternal life is by God's grace through faith in Christ, Ephesians 2:8. That salvation comes to us by hearing and by doing, Romans 2:13. Paul goes on to say, salvation and eternal life come to us by bearing one another's burdens and so fulfilling the law of Christ, Galatians 6:2. All of it engages our heart, our mind, our soul, and the strength that God gives us. One thing that I've learned from this parable, one thing that will help me, is to remember all of this when I am tempted to pass by the other side. So today we celebrate and give thanks to God for not passing by on the other side. We pray that our efforts will bless many, many people. So let me just recap real quickly. If you're looking at your sheet, the heart refers to the emotions. Soul refers to what we're conscious of, our awareness. Strength refers to initiative, to willpower, and to drive. The mind refers to intelligence and to wisdom. We talked about three movements that led to the sufferer's healing, all of them necessary. First of all, he saw him. Second, he was moved with compassion. In other words, he hurt deeply with him. He felt his pain. And number three, he acted. We've talked about how part of that love was intentional. Love was also counting the cost. Another part of that love is generosity. So as you look at the reflections here, ask yourself, can you recall a time when you saw the need to help someone, but you were already on the way to another urgent situation? And also, just as we know very little in the parable about the victim, we know very little about the Samaritan. So ask yourself, to what extent does information help you to play a role in helping others? When you have the opportunity to help someone, how much information do you need? And what type of information is it? And then we saw also how helping strangers in need and intentional discipleship can be a powerful combo ministry. So ask yourself, why do you think intentional help with practical needs can pave the way for a spiritual conversation? Let's think about these things for a moment. Lord, I pray that you will bless this series and our time together. That as we walk through, Lord, this new year, as you give us opportunities, Lord, some are announced and some are unannounced. Some will be very convenient for us and others will bring a note of inconvenience. We ask, Lord, that you would take it all. And that you would so fashion it that it would bring glory to your name. And that you, Lord Jesus, would be lifted up so that all will come to you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.